Sorry.
It is Sunday, November 13th, 2016, but we are going to play a new to you show from October 24th, 2008. The idea here is that it's all about inspiration, inspiration for women and inspiration for America. We had just gotten back from the California Women's Conference, where we heard Warren Buffett and Maria Shriver and Billie Jean King and J-Lo and, of course, our fave, Satellite Mister, Solid Gold, Bono. So also you get a film review here from Sheila. She reviews Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. And Monica gives you an installment of her own adventure, Edna and Jim's excellent adventure, driving our parents to Southern California. So relax, enjoy, or as Sheila would say, breathe, reach, snack. And don't forget to subscribe to our show and rate or review it if we are a favorite of yours. So here you go, Satellite Sisters, new to you. And remember, all of our previous shows are in our archive at satellitesisters.com, or you can find them at iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you normally download your podcasts.
Hi, this is Julie Dolan.
This is Liz Dolan.
This is Sheila Dolan.
This is Monica Dolan.
This is Leanne Dolan.
And you're listening to Satellite Sisters.
To Satellite Sisters to Go.
Not every conversation will change your life,
but any conversation.
Any conversation.
Any conversation can.
I'm not gonna write you a love song.
We are the Satellite Sisters, and it's more like Satellite Sisters Cafe here today in Beverly Hills, California. Hey, sisters, how you doing?
Good.
Great. I am Liz Dolan. I'm here. We're always at the Paley Center in Beverly Hills. Normally, it's Leanne, Sheila, and me around a tiny little table here in the radio studio, and our engineer, Kia. But we're around a tiny table, and Kia is in charge of the controls. But today, Monica Dolan, special guest star, here with us. So we have quite a little crowd around the cafe table, and everyone's got a hot cafe.
Yeah, the table's even tinier with me here. Wow, it's amazing. I don't know how you guys do this, but you're professionals.
Yeah, welcome to town. I know we're going to hear lots more about your visit, why you're here, and what you've done while you're here. It is, we have an installment for you of what we're calling Jim and Edna's excellent adventure. Monica delivered our parents to Southern California in the past few days, and we're going to hear about the road trip aspect of that. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas. I'm sorry you can't be here with us, but, you know, through the magic of ISDN lines, here you are.
I know. I think I'd have to sit on Monica's lap if I was there in Beverly Hills.
So that would make a long show for me.
You'd have to share a mic.
And Julie, you also missed. We had a lot of fun on Wednesday. Your LA-based flight crew went to Maria Shriver's annual women's conference in Long Beach, California. And Julie, you and I have gone to that several times together in the past. Right?
Always inspiring, blockbuster guests. So I can't wait to hear about it.
It was better than ever. It's just an unbelievable day. And even though we've had some unbelievable days there, remember we saw Sandra Day O'Connor there together. That was cool, right?
We were inspired, Liz. Yes, both of us wanting to be Supreme Court justices at earlier points in our lives. It was really inspirational.
And then one year we did a live broadcast from the Women's Conference. And do you remember that that Sweet Adeline's group kept standing behind us and singing while we were live on the air?
Not so inspirational, Liz.
Well, they were back this year, Julie. You'll be happy to know. I was thinking of you as they were entertaining us in between speakers. So we have more on that coming up. Also, entertaining Sheila, what movie will you be reviewing for us this week?
I will be reviewing Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. And Monica, I'm so glad you're here to hear this, because it's all new music, all new bands that I've never heard of that are in this film. And I think it's your kind of movie.
Great, because I've been wondering if I should go see it.
All right. Well, you'll find out
today. I didn't know if it was just for teens or not.
Well, I went.
Yes, but you're immature.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Monica, this is it. We have started a casual series called Jim and Edna's Excellent Adventure. Our parents decided to move out of the house that they were living in Portland, Oregon, and downsize. And we're not totally sure as a family where they want to live or what the best situation is for them, but they decided to try out Southern California from now through the holidays. And you delivered that.
That's right. I mean, they had to get to Southern California somehow. And we knew they weren't going to drive on their own. And they really had too much stuff, too much personal stuff that they wanted to bring with them to get on an airplane with, you know, all that extra stuff. So I agreed.
Stuff, including, Leon, a large stone pig, which Mom had in her garden. Which she brought with her.
It has a live fern in it. And you, I, as far as I know, you cannot get it on an airplane with the live fern.
Get it in a pig.
It's in the trunk of my car right now.
It's about 180 pounds, that pig.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It is a beautiful pig. It was given to her by Aunt Eleanor, her twin sister, who died a year ago. So she wanted me to have it for my garden. So I'm very touched. But that was when I called. The first thing she said was, the pig is here. Oh, good.
Well, Lee, in the morning we left Portland, Oregon, in the dark. Mom was out in the backyard digging things out of the garden, the garden stones, because she saw we had a little bit extra room. I'm just relieved she didn't dig up the rose bushes.
Right.
You know, sometimes people do that when they leave a house.
Yes. Take all the bulbs.
Take all their camellia bushes with them. I don't really understand that. Although we had room for a couple of hedges in that van.
Well,
you had room
in the van, but not room in the one-bedroom apartment that they're living in. I'm not sure where they would put the hedge.
Correct. Well, we did a lot of planning for the road trip, and we decided amongst the three of us, Mom, Dad, and I, that a minivan would suit our needs the best. It would be the most comfortable for them to travel in. I know it's easy to get in and out of a minivan.
Yes.
I've seen those captain's chairs, and I was very excited about those. Plus, we had a lot of stuff to take, and we knew that a minivan would have a lot of cargo space. So I go out to the airport the night before, because we decide we're going to pack the night before, so we're all set to go the next morning at 6:30.
It's very, very Dolan of you.
Time of departure. I go out there, and the woman said, we have one minivan left. And you know when you rent a car, and you find out what parking space the car is in, and you see it for the first time, you're either excited or a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was shocked. This was not a normal minivan. This was like a stretch, extra large version. It was somewhere between a minivan and one of those Econoline vans.
Whoa.
And I just have to say, I am not good at driving big cars, super big cars. I knew I was going to have to use my side mirrors, Lynn.
Yes, yes.
I knew I was going to have to do that, but I just wasn't prepared to command a truck for 900 miles. But once I got used to it, oh my gosh, Mom and Dad were just overjoyed when they saw me pull in the driveway because this thing was so enormous. And it had, everything was stowaway, the stow and go, it said on the side of this minivan. So the rear seat folded down into...
Oh, that's good. Extra storage. That's
extra storage. And you could lift up the floor of this minivan and stash stuff under there. So we had four suitcases under there. I mean, we might have been riding low. But as Mom said, the thing was designed to take four extra bodies. So what's
600, one stone pig?
So what's 600 pounds of suitcases? I have to say, the trip went really well. We discussed ahead of time what we were going to do for entertainment besides look out the window for 900 miles. And we thought we might talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
And I thank you for your suggestions on the audiobooks. But my parents, we nixed that idea. They didn't really want to listen to an audiobook. So I made a couple. I burned some CDs of Satellite Sister shows from the summer that they had not heard before. And we used those periodically to kind of freshen
things
up.
To lighten the mood.
Entertain.
Entertain. Sheila, we heard quite a few cozy couches.
Oh, good.
Some classic cozy couches, some Believe It or Nots.
That makes the miles just while away.
You could have played the car game like we do with the kids. Like, what's the coolest car? Every half an hour, you have to pick the coolest car.
Oh, we could have played the car game. But, you know, luckily, we also had Sirius XM radio, which is just amazing if you're on a road trip for the music stations commercial free. We did like the channel that was called Movin' Easy. It was like John Denver, Karen Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah. You're moving easy.
I can see Mom and Dad would really enjoy that.
Neil Diamond. I did have to change when Captain and Tennille came on. Who knew Captain and Tennille had so many hits? Well, apparently Movin' Easy. It's like the Captain and Tennille station. But it was something we could all agree on. So the first day, I mean, the drive is beautiful. Through Southern Oregon, up over the Siskiyous and Mount Shasta and down into Redding. We did the first day, we did 5 hours. Then they were allowed a half hour sit down lunch, if that's possible. Our goal was no fast food. We didn't do any fast food. Bought snacks in the morning, had a nice sit down lunch, which was like the fastest dang lunch we've ever had in our lives. But got us back in the car. Another 5 hours. We made it to Sacramento. Perfect. 6 o'clock, Embassy Suites, the manager's reception or whatever they call that.
The free cheap white wine.
The free cheap white wine, right, and the mini goldfish or whatever that they give out. And then the next day we got up early. I think, Liz, we checked in with you the first day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
when you got to Sacramento, you let me know that everyone was safely stowed in their room.
Stow and go, Liz. That was our motto. Mom was so shocked that I actually went 75 miles per hour in the passing lane. Well,
you
the
did?
Speed limit was 70.
And yes, on occasion, as I say. Yes.
On occasion, Leon, I did have to pass other cars.
Right.
I mean, the driving, I could have gone for another 5 days. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I love that big van.
Putting the go in the stone go.
I mean, the worst 20 minutes of the trip and possibly the worst 20 minutes of my life was driving that thing on the 405 freeway in Los Angeles.
Welcome to California.
I knew.
Just returning the car to LAX was harrowing.
Right. I knew I'd sweat through my shirt on that one. But, you know, not a nick, not a dent on either Mom and Dad or the minivan.
Way to go, Monica.
So it was really fun. We had a great time.
Right. So I got the call that you thought you'd be arriving about 1 p.m. So I went down. Leon and I had gone into Mom and Dad's apartment the day before. Leon, you had done the massive shopping.
Right.
So all the dry goods were stowed already in the kitchen area.
Liz, I can't tell you. I mean, when we saw the ocean, you know, we drove straight to Santa Monica, straight to Ocean Boulevard.
Yeah.
And we had come all that way in 2 days. We saw the ocean. We started cheering. Beautiful sight.
Yeah. So Monica thought they would be arriving at about 1 o'clock. So I went down to the apartment about noon with the fresh fruits and vegetables, which we had not wanted to buy the day before, and a few other little, you know, snacks and things. So there would be food to serve the moment they arrived. But then I got the call that you were running a little bit late. And so I thought, well, you know, we had rented this temporary apartment for them, but I hadn't really tested out the bed. So I went in and took a nap on their bed.
Did you really?
Liz sent me an email the night before. Hey, Mom and Dad's apartment is empty. You want to come over and have a potty? I was like, Liz, no.
Well, it's this really nice place, a temporary rental that overlooks the Pacific Ocean.
It's got a shag rug, too. It's shag-a-licious.
Flat screens everywhere.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's going to be the issue. But anyway, you guys rolled right in, and there you were, and we unloaded, and they're very happy to be here in Southern California. I think it's going to be a very nice little experiment.
And the weather has been absolutely spectacular. And yeah. I did know.
And that's what they came for.
Right.
They came to walk outside in beautiful sunshine every day in December and January. And that's what they're going to get.
Right. Because it was 50 and raining in Portland, I noted. And it was like 100 here in California. I mean, it was 100.
But I'm sure they enjoyed that heat
they
and
don't
the
care.
Sunshine.
They
that's
loved
right.
it. They mm-hmm. enjoyed it very much.
So it's an experiment. It's an ongoing thing. We will have more installments. The welcoming committee. Well, Sheila, you came down the next day, right?
Yes, I did. So, and we had, I brought the welcoming package to Santa Monica.
Which I saw that it was like a welcome wagon,
well,
Sheila.
Well, it was a shopping bag. I had done some decoration, and Liz had collected all sorts of maps and brochures from local sites in Santa Monica. And then I went around and collected all the swimming schedules for Mom.
Right.
Highlighted them, got
so
them all
so she can
together.
Do her aqua aerobics, right?
I also donated one of my sun hats to Mom and some Faces Only Copper Tone 30 that I thought she might need for her aqua aerobics class.
I gave that to Dad because there was nothing in your bag for Dad.
So. Oh, okay, good list.
Anyway, our installment on Monday is going to be more about that. That's where we're going to tell you, like, what we as a family are trying to do to make them feel comfortable here, what some of our challenges are. We're experimenting for the first time with car-free living. You know, that was a big deal to get them to agree to that. I know many of you have gone through that with your older parents. If you've had that conversation with your parents, we would love to hear from you about how you did that. How is that working? Because we have the feeling that's going to be kind of an ongoing issue. So send us an email at satellitesisters.com, or we'll have blog posts about this. So on Monday's show, we're going to talk a little bit more about the resettlement process. now that the road trip is successfully completed, now we're into creating a life here in Santa Monica. And we're going to see how that goes, right?
Mm-hmm. And coming up later on in the show, Entertaining Sheila is going to be here with Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. But first, we're going to tell you about the women's conference we went to this week. An unbelievable lineup of speakers, everybody from Warren Buffett to
You can say at least
Bono, Christiane Amanpour, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Jennifer Lopez. It was unbelievable. So stay with us.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your Butcher Box account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your Butcher Box on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Okay, Kia, our engineer Kia Renee is now laughing at the four sisters that are here in Beverly Hills, California in the studio. What, is that lame dancing, Kia? That's yes. What you were witnessing there? We were trying to rock out a little bit to the music, and she's not buying it. Anyway, here we are. We're the Satellite Sisters. I'm in California. Sheila is here, as always. Leanne is here, as always. And Monica is here as a special guest. Julie, you're in Dallas, Texas. I'm sorry to tell you, but you missed a big, big day here on Wednesday because we went to Maria Shriver's annual women's conference in Long Beach, California.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, it was just you and I have been in the past.
Exactly.
A couple of years we did the show live from there. Remember one year I went and I interviewed Martha Stewart at the conference?
Right, you remember
yes,
that,
you
Liz.
Did, Liz.
I mean,
yep.
We've talked to
better
all,
you than me, Liz.
Yeah, yeah, we've talked to all kinds of people there over the years. Now, the women's conference is an interesting thing. It's been going on, what did Maria say, 23 years so, or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, 26. Maybe a long time.
It's the First Lady of California hosts an annual conference whose original purpose was to encourage female entrepreneurs, women who were starting small businesses. But over the years, it's morphed into kind of a female empowerment thing. And then once Maria Shriver became the First Lady of California, well, wouldn't you say it's just the biggest boffo, like, entertainment show ever, live, like, stages here, stages there. It's crazy what went on there.
It is 12 full hours of, like, the best speakers you'd ever want to see in your life. There are so many speakers and panels and events going on, you literally can't see them all. You have to decide, oh, who am I going to go see, Gloria Steinem or Sarah Jessica Parker or Michael J. Fox? They were all speaking simultaneously, and you have to make that decision.
Tough, tough choices we were making. So this was Wednesday, and it's at a big convention center in Long Beach, California. It's the largest conference for women in the United States, 14,000 attendees, including us. We would like to thank Dove. We were there guests of Dove. They just called us up and asked us if we wanted tickets, which was really, really nice.
They were one of the major sponsors of the event this year.
And because they were one of the major sponsors, not only did we have tickets, we had really, really good tickets, which is why some of the sister spotters, Julie, I know you were watching part of it on the webcast, right?
First of all, it's a fantastic webcast that if you have not seen it and want to see it, you can go to californiawomen.org and you can watch the whole conference. But Liz, yesterday during the conference on our blog, several of our sister spotters actually spotted you guys in the audience.
Yes.
That just brings sister spotting to a whole new level. Don't
I
you
know,
see that?
That's so great. Maybe it was my pop of color. I learned that in one of the afternoon workshops.
No, it was Monica they saw.
I'm sure they caught me crying because there were some extremely moving, inspirational, beautiful speeches we heard yesterday.
I felt like when I got home last night, I wanted to do either two things. I wanted to change the world or crawl up in a ball in a fetal position because I thought I'm either really inspired or I should just throw in the towel, you know? Some days I can't even groom. So I'm not sure if the message was getting through, but it was just exhausting.
All right, we're going to work through some of the highlights for us. We'll go around the horn. There were big sessions and then there were breakouts. So in the morning, big sessions. They had what they called a once-in-a-lifetime conversation, which was Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, as you know, is related to the First Lady of California. So Arnold was there with Warren Buffett. They call him the Sage of Omaha, smartest investor the world has ever seen.
Man of the hour right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And he was great, Julie. And he was.
I encouraged Sheila to take notes during that segment.
And I did not.
I was like, get your pen, Sheila. Warren might say something to you that might be useful.
And that was all moderated by Chris Matthews, who was doing his best not to be his hardball self. But, you know, anyway, these guys were great. I thought Warren Buffett, he's unbelievably charming and funny.
Oh, he is. He's adorable.
Yep. Yeah.
He's adorable.
No. He's married, Sheila.
I know that. No, I don't mean it like that. He just seems like a really sweet man.
Very charming.
For
very
being
warm.
One of the world's richest men.
Right. Yeah. He's really good at explaining complex things. Like one of the things I wrote down, he said his number one rule of investing is invest in a company whose business is so good that an idiot can run it. Because sooner or later, one will. So that got a laugh. And he said, and that's true of countries, too. And that got an even that got an even bigger laugh. But then because he knew he was speaking to an audience of women, he was talking about his hope for the future, like the United States economy and the United States role in the world and why he was so bullish. And he's always so confident about what he calls the greatness of America. And he said what gives him so much hope for the future of America is that we have only just begun to unleash the potential of women. Mm-hmm. And he did, Julie, a really kind of lengthy explanation, mm-hmm. like for our first 200 years, we did really well. But when you look at it, we were kind of working with one arm tied behind our back. We were not really unleashing the potential of 50% of the population, at least. You just now, he sees this as women as a real engine. So I thought that was great.
That's inspiring.
And Governor Schwarzenegger also said he'd like to see 50% of the California legislature be women because he thought that would be different, too. That would get different programs moved up to the top of the list. And that would be a good thing for California. And he was also very charming.
Yes. Just they say.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah. And handsome. I mean, I know he's a movie star, but I've never seen him in person.
Oh, incredibly handsome.
Yeah. He's really handsome.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And then they were followed up by the total powerhouse.
Can I say one thing, though? I think Chris Matthews did not do a good job on that. And I'm just going to say it. I think it was, you know, because you have Warren Buffett. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the economy. There was a little bit of pandering to the women in the audience, and that kind of bummed me out. Yeah. And you said to me yesterday, Liz, you think he's trying to make up for the mean things he said about Hillary Clinton.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because I think that's why he was pandering so hard.
He did talk a lot about he has a very bright wife, very accomplished wife, Chris Matthews, and his wife and his daughter and how much he loves women. Yeah, I would have liked to hear a little bit more from the Sage of Omaha.
Right. Yeah. And Warren Buffett actually kind of called him on it at one point because he went off on this whole thing about how his mother had always controlled the family and she was the brains behind the operation. And it was just more pandering, more of the I love women thing. And Warren Buffett turned to him. He was saying, like, 50 years ago, women had the power. I believe they've always had the power. And Warren Buffett turned to Chris Matthews and said, okay, so tell me, Chris, would you rather have been born a woman?
And people
Julie,
went nuts.
He had no answer to
that. Oh, yeah. The look on Chris Matthews' face. It was a great moment.
Yeah. Like, give me a break. Okay. Yeah. So your mom paid the bills at home. Are you actually telling me you think you would have been better off born a woman 50 years ago? And it was, I thought it was really good just to kind of call him on his thing. Anyway.
Right. And then when he didn't answer it, 5 minutes later, Governor Schwarzenegger said, Chris, you haven't answered that question. So it was good. I thought it was fascinating. But I wish that, you know, at one point he was asking Arnold Schwarzenegger about Title IX.
Yeah. That's so
you know,
old.
Whatever. Yeah. We love Title IX. Don't get me wrong. But. Yeah. You know,
okay, your daughter plays soccer, right?
Yeah, good. Let's can we talk about taxes a sec?
Liz and Leanne were really following along.
I told you.
We were in the front row.
Yes.
That's why we're in the
cutaways. I was pandering to the camera. I don't know.
Well, but then, okay, they were followed, Sheila, by one of your favorites, a woman who has been a frequent guest on Satellite Sisters. Christiane Amanpour of CNN.
And her black jacket.
She is impressive.
I have to get one of those jackets. I saw her on the webcast and I said, I am never going to be taken seriously as an international news correspondent until I get one of those.
One of those safari jackets. Leanne's wearing one today.
I am, in honor of Christiane.
As Christiane would say, look, they're comfortable.
Listen. She does do that.
So she was great and she really let it rip.
She did.
Much more than normal, much more than she ever would on CNN, just about how much we need international news, but also how much the world needs the United States of America to be engaged at a high level with all of these complex issues. That was something that came up quite a bit,
right.
I thought, throughout the whole conference. It was like almost anyone from another country just wanted to encourage the United States electorate to think about the important role we play all over the world.
It's and not... when you say anyone from another country, you mean Bono, the Irish rock star. We're going to get to him. But let's just, it wasn't just anyone from another country. Let's just be clear.
But one thing Chris John said, and maybe this is Sheila where you, when you cheered her, she said she's worried about the lowering standards in journalism. And she said that we are in the grips of the idiocy of the gifted amateur.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's when I did blurt out something, didn't I, Monica? You were sitting next to me.
Yeah, I don't want to say it. She didn't exactly call her Christiane. Yeah. Sheila called her Christina. Like, way to go, Julie, Christina.
Julie, I was overwhelmed in the moment.
Julie, you would have been so inspired if you heard her speech.
Oh, I did. I watched the webcast.
She was just on fire.
She was.
And talking about her love for journalism.
Right.
And the upcoming election. I mean, she walked by our table later on. Leanne stood up and started cheering.
I went, way to go, Christiane! And she turns and acknowledged me.
Yeah.
Again, we're in the front row.
Yeah.
And she's walking by on her way to lunch with Billie Jean King. I mean, that was just an incredible
moment.
That's a moment.
We tried to get a picture, but we were not fast enough.
But I did stand up and cheer. But at one point, she was saying she felt so depressed by the level of journalism now that she thought about quitting. And she said, if the storytellers quit, the bad guys will win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was a great line.
She also said that she, this Christmas, Julie, she is taking her son, who is 8 and a half. She has a son named Darius. They're going to Kenya for Christmas to visit some. She did that whole documentary that was so great about AIDS orphans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's showing her son around some of the homes and schools that she visited then. And she said she's doing this because she wants to teach her son, Darius, that it's about justice, not just us. Which I thought,
again,
profound.
You go home and you feel very small after that. You know, you just,
you're supposed to feel inspired.
I know.
I did put on a flak jacket. I'm just saying.
All right, but then lunchtime, the star. Well, I can't even say the star. Here's,
well, we didn't even mention Jennifer Lopez. I know.
Oh,
we're
she
talk
came
about
out,
her.
Right.
She started off the day, and she is so sweet,
she's
loving,
super
and warm,
stunning in a way. Not just beautiful, warm, intelligent, thoughtful, real. Loved her.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we got a chance to see a lot more of her later at the special Dove Self-Esteem Workshop. We're going to tell you all about that on Monday. But we'll talk more about Jennifer Lopez. But she kicked off the day.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Okay, so then lunchtime. Then you go off and you do various things. You come back.
I did appreciate the fact that Julie and the Long Beach Convention Center, because there were 14,000 women there, they turned all of the men's rooms into women's rooms.
That is justice, Monica.
Except for one. So the
for
poor
Chris
guys.
Matthews.
So, yeah. Good. Now
Warren
you know
Buffett.
What it feels like to have to wait in line, buddy. But it's like there were about 15 men there, so they got one men's room. The whole place was just ladies' rooms everywhere you turned. I appreciated that.
Okay, so the lunchtime session, the first keynote speaker was our own First Lady, Maria Shriver. And man, oh man, do I love Maria Shriver.
Yeah.
She has become just an incredible force in the state of California.
Yes.
She's an incredible voice for women. I think she's really grown into it. Julie, you will appreciate this. But she was talking, you know how she always talks about how she never wanted to be First Lady?
Exactly.
So what she said Wednesday is, I still don't like the title, but I love the job. And she just gave this, again, go to the website, watch her speech, just about what she's been through this year emotionally, trying to conquer her fears of various things. And she talked about speaking at Tim Russert's memorial service. Mm-hmm. She talked about when she got the call that her Uncle Teddy had a malignant brain tumor. It was an unbelievably personal speech.
Yeah, I was shocked at the level of intimacy in that speech. I really was.
Her mother has been very ill all year and pretty much in and out of the hospital. So Maria talked about how the two of them had grown closer this year. She opened her heart. It was
very moving.
It
really was.
All right. So then, because that's all, everyone's crying here now.
Yeah.
All right. Then, because that's not good enough, the once-in-a-lifetime conversation, the lunchtime session.
Okay, can we just say one thing, though? She told a fascinating story about her decision to endorse Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Which was a great behind-the-scenes detail, because she said she was too afraid to do it, to come out publicly because she knew she was going to disappoint a lot of people. She hadn't cleared it with the governor's office. Her husband had just endorsed John McCain. You know, she knew Michelle Obama, Oprah, and Caroline Kennedy were going to be appearing at UCLA. They said, come join us. She's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And she was sitting in Palm Springs that morning, about 2 hours from LA. And her daughter's like, Mom, what are you so afraid of? Why don't you just go? If that's who you really want to endorse, go. So she got in the car and she drove to UCLA and she just showed up backstage. And she thought, well, I'll just kind of slide on and, you know, I'll introduce the big three, Caroline and Oprah and Michelle. And Julie, Oprah was like, no, you're the story now. You're the story. And she's like, but I don't have any hair and makeup. What am I doing? It was just a really great story. So the three of them went out first and then they introduced her. And she said, I didn't know how people were going to respond. I, you know, have obviously campaigned for my husband, for Republicans for a couple of years. That's been a big deal. You know, that I wasn't supporting Hillary was a big deal. And so she said that was a huge turning point for her this year. Mm-hmm. But then when she showed up at Tim Russert's funeral, she said she saw the Clinton Charlotte and she said, oh, they're going to be really mad at me. They're going to be really mad at me.
That's so personal that you don't expect people of that level and of that sort of fame and stature to really have sort of the same challenges as that we all do.
Right. Yeah. She said she just felt sick. Like, what did she have to say to these people when they were hearing from Tom Brokaw and all of these incredibly well-spoken people? So that was great. And so as if that was not enough, then we had a conversation that was Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Okay, this is Condoleezza Rice and Indra Nooyi, who is the chairman and CEO of PepsiCo. So she's the Fortune Magazine's most powerful woman in business in the world. So they were the two of them together being interviewed by Campbell Brown. And again, that alone would have been a fascinating day.
Right.
Just those two women being interviewed by Campbell Brown.
And very candid and personal. I mean, you learned a lot about Condoleezza Rice growing up and wanting to be a concert pianist, but she, you know, wasn't going to make it. And she feared that she was going to end up like as a pianist in Nordstrom in the lobby and changing her major. I thought we got to see a real personal side of her.
Right.
And I think what a lot of these people who had succeeded in so many different walks of life said, they all said their parents, they wanted to honor their parents for supporting them, working three jobs, turning over everything, giving up everything so that their children could follow their dreams. That was a big theme yesterday.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. Over and over again.
I was surprised at how funny Condoleezza Rice was. Very warm. And she said she had the best job in the world. She absolutely loved being Secretary of State. Campbell Brown asked her if she was going to run for president. And no, it didn't sound like that. But she clearly outlined what her plans were for the next, you know, next chapter of her life, to write a couple books, to go back to Stanford. But clearly her number one priority is education in America. She feels like the difference between the education that kids are getting here and versus abroad is going to be the difference in national security.
Right. And, particularly in math and science.
Right.
She said the fact that we're falling down so much in educating our children in math and science, it's going to be a real national security problem in the future.
Right. If we're not creating scientists and engineers, then we're not going to be able to keep up. And that we're going to be we can't be a first-rate country with second-rate education. And she made it clear it was for all kids. And she talked about, you know, growing up in segregated schools in Alabama and what that was like for her.
Yeah, she said the first time she was ever in a class with a white kid was when she was in the 10th grade and they moved to Denver.
That's amazing.
From Birmingham,
isn't
Alabama.
That amazing?
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she said, Julie, she sort of stumbled after she decided not to major in music. She kind of cast a wide net and took all these classes thinking she would find what she loved. And she walked into a class taught by Madeleine Albright's dad at the University of Denver on like Russian political science. And she said she fell in love from day one. She said, so don't ever don't let anyone ever tell you what you can't study. Because I was just a black girl from Alabama. Why would I be fascinated by Russia and political science, a place I had never been to or never really thought about? She was great.
Yeah. So check that out online. We have lots more to talk about. One funny story that Indra Nooyi told, and she's probably the least well-known of a lot of these women, but she's the most powerful woman
she's
in
awesome.
Business. She told the story, Julie, of being at Yale, obviously a business school at Yale, and interviewing for jobs, and she was so poor, she had nothing to wear. So she bought this really bad, like, didn't she? She went to Kmart.
She went to Kmart.
She bought a bad Kmart pantsuit.
Ill-fitting.
And everyone, like, laughed at her when she walked into her first set of job interviews. So she went home and she changed into the only nice clothing she had, which was a sari. And she did all of her job interviews wearing a sari. It's amazing.
That's incredible.
And now she's the most powerful woman in business in the world.
Yeah, she said 50 Yale grads, you know, interviewed for this one job at a blue chip company, and she was the one that got the offer in the sari. And she was really fascinating. I mean, I've read a lot about her, but to see her in person, Julie, we happened to be sitting next to the PepsiCo table filled with women.
So her whole team
and they
was back
loved
there.
Her. Yeah, oh, they were cheering her. Every time her name came up. They clearly had found somebody they could really look up to in business, and you know that was important. Although both Condoleezza Rice and Indra Nooyi said, chances are your mentor is not going to be a woman.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be a man. So just accept that. Accept that your mentor could be any color, any gender, you know, maybe not even in your field. But that if you're really looking for someone, it does not have to be a woman.
Okay. So at this point, we're already exhausted.
Right.
And it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We have so much more to talk to you about. And of course, we were just holding our breath in the late afternoon for the headliner for the evening session.
Was Bono.
All right. Can't wait, Leanne, to hear your report.
So
I know that's why you win.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and get the full Bono breakdown.
All right. But we're the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. We'll have links to the conference website at satellitesisters.com. So you can go find that so you can watch this webcast because we're in them.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo,
yes.
you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
We are the Satellite Sisters. We're back. We're telling you all about the California Women's Conference that Sheila, Leah, Monica, and I attended on Wednesday. And Julie, I know you watched the webcast.
Which I know, californiawomen.org. You can go there today and you can attend the California Women's Conference and see all these great speeches. Well, you don't get the, you can make your own, Monica, but it's like watching a high quality television show too. I mean, the webcasts are excellent.
Oh my gosh, they had a million cameras. Production. Yes. Production value very high.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the breakouts that we went to. First, one little career tidbit that I wrote down because I was so impressed. They had a lot of women from the companies that were the sponsors introducing the various speakers. And there was a woman who came out, Larie Renda is her name. She's an executive vice president and chief strategist at Safeway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Safeway.
Is a great company. Do you know, Julie, Larie started at Safeway as a bagger when she was 16 years old.
In Des Moines, Iowa.
And she's now executive vice president.
I love that.
Hey, but that was really fun. Anyway, so after lunch, we all went off to various breakouts. Monica, you went to a good one.
I did. I went to a session that was called Men We Love Who Have a Voice. And I think they do it every year. They like to feature philanthropists, 3 or 4 men. And Julie, the panel was unbelievable. Michael J. Fox.
I love him.
Russell Simmons, who founded Def Jam Records. Mm-hmm. And just for a little eye candy, Laird Hamilton, the surfer.
All right. Whoa.
Who runs a foundation on autism. So he had to leave early. That's okay. We got to see him walk on the stage and walk off the stage. Surf's up.
It's Long Beach, man. He's hit the beach.
Yeah, he had to go to the beach. But Michael J. Fox and Russell Simmons, those two men, there was so much like love in the room for those two men. They are just so inspirational. I mean, Russell Simmons is a very spiritual guy.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, I mean, he's the father of like hip hop music and started Def Jam, and he has all these foundations and he helps schools and kids, but he's also a deep guy, very spiritual. And Michael J. Fox is just an amazing person.
How did he seem, Michael J. Fox?
Very ill. Very difficult time sitting in the chair. A lot of symptoms, a lot of tremors from his Parkinson's. He said, Deborah Norville introduced them. She was the moderator. And he said when he came out, he said, you know, I'm kind of waiting for my medication to kick in. So maybe you could talk to those other two guys first. All with the sense of humor. He's a wise man. I mean, he had some really poignant, meaningful things to say. And I mean, he spends all of his time on the Parkinson's Foundation and, you know, getting money for stem cell research, which is something sort of separate that he does. It was just a wonderful, like warm, inspirational talk from men we love.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I went to one that was called Life's Biggest Hurdles, How to Overcome the Unimaginable. And this was, the moderator was Lynn Scherr, who's been a guest on Satellite Sisters in the past. But her speakers, Jenny McCarthy was there talking about her battle with her son and autism. David Sheff was there, and he's written that amazing book called Beautiful Boy, Father's Journey Through His Son's Addiction. You've probably seen him
on
television.
Book.
It's just amazing. And the killer on this panel, Mary Tillman. the mother of Pat Tillman, who was killed in Afghanistan, and what she's done, what she's tried to do to get the truth about Pat's death out of the Pentagon. It's just, it's unbelievable when you see a mother that committed to just finding out what really happened. And she, it was very poignant. She said, you know, I come from a family with a lot of military, my father, my uncles. I had such great respect for these people, which is why when they told me what happened, I believed them. Mm-hmm. So to find out months later that everyone who talked to me for months had been lying to me about how Pat died, and they, at the very highest levels, they had been covering up things about Pat's death. She said, I can't tell you how hard it is for me to accept that these people I trusted so much had been lying the whole time. Anyway, that was an amazing session. And I, as in many other, there are lots of tears in these sessions.
Right,
it's really
right.
an emotional roller coaster. But you just come away loving the power of these people. And then, Sheila, what did you do?
I didn't have any tears or poignancy. I just went to, we all want to look our best, Julie.
Sheila, I can count on you to bring the superficial.
Had yes. a step forward with confidence with Rita Wilson. It was lovely. Three of the top stylists, makeup, hair, and clothes were there. And just three takeaways. Number one, eyebrows are the shoulders of the face.
Ooh.
Oh, that is deep. Said that?
I'm sorry, another, I said...
So... Another takeaway. Shoes are a woman's pedestal. And finally, what the three stylists begged us to do each morning, take a few minutes in the mirror and magnify your greatness. That's it. And I wrote it all in my Lean Cuisine takeaway, which was in the tote bag. That's where I took my notes, my mini notebook. So there you go. That was my afternoon workshop.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And then, Julie, we had strategized because they kept, you know, we had to get the good seats for mm-hmm. Bono. Now, we had good tickets, but we did not have guaranteed front row seats this time. So everyone's, we just decided after the breakouts, just run back, get first in line. Liz, we could count on her. She snuck right in. We got fantastic seats for Bono. What were we, 25 feet away?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, not
how
even.
Great was it for you, Leanne?
I can't even tell you how great it was.
Leanne, I know you've been talking about him for years. I so agree with everything you've ever said about him.
Well, first of all, Leanne, you bought a one t-shirt.
Yes.
That's his foundation,
yes.
One, and that's what he was there to speak
you
about.
You were wearing that?
So,
I changed into it, yeah.
Liam bought a one t-shirt in the lobby, and then she changed into it just
That's
in case
good,
Bono was going to pick
there was
her
some eye contact.
To come up on stage.
I was pretty
something.
Sure I was going to have my dancing in the dark moment, but that did not happen. But he came out. I mean, first we had like more awards. Okay,
yeah.
We're like skipping through Billie Jean King, who brought the house to tears.
Right.
All these other women.
Gloria Steinem. Yeah.
Gloria Steinem, still feisty and rocking it in her 70s. She looked great.
Yeah.
And so, and then Bono comes out. And first of all, ladies, he was looking good.
He looks the best he's ever looked.
I mean,
yes, he's aging extremely well.
Right. He had the short hair, Julie, like the rock star glasses. He had like minimal rock star glasses. Just a black shirt on. I mean, I don't want to dwell on how good he looked, but he looked really good.
He's small but good looking.
And we were very close to him.
Yeah.
That's why. And the only singing he did, Julie, he did serenade Maria Shriver.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry about that.
Maria. I know.
Maybe you next year.
Maybe next year. Who knows?
If only there was a song named Leon. Yeah.
It's so hard to sing, Leon. But he was just so funny, Julie, and so smart and so well prepared. And was off the cuff and charming, did a whole bit on the Irish and then the Kennedy
family.
I
like when he said, don't tell the other members of the band that I'm here solo, because the reason they started U2 was to try to get in front of 14,000 women. He said, and I'm the one who's here today alone.
He talked a lot about all the members of the Shriver family because he co-founded One and Red with Bobby Shriver, Maria's sister, and he worked with... You know, Eunice Shriver and Sergeant Shriver used to write his speeches initially when he went to Washington. He said, when you go to Washington and you have a Kennedy on one side and a Schwarzenegger on the other side, no one messes with you. you know, so he's, and then he got into the whole passionate bit about why he started One, the trip he made. And, you know, even though I've heard this all before on Oprah and stuff, it was just, he was so personal there. He wasn't kind of, you could tell this really mattered to him. This wasn't just like, I have a cause. Oh, what's my cause du jour today? No, it really mattered. His wife was there, Julie. His daughter was there.
Were you disappointed that his wife was there?
You know what? I'm glad. He's a married man with four kids, Liz. Good for him.
And you've got to respect that.
Yes, I do. And she was there, and he had taken this trip, you know, 25 years ago to Africa, and it completely changed his life, and he hadn't stopped thinking about it since. You really felt his passion as a father and what those kids in Africa mean to him, and he just was.
It blew my mind. It was riveting, Leanne. It really was. Yeah. I really agree with you.
Yeah.
And he wasn't talking down to us or anything. He said it's not a cause, actually. It's a crisis, and you know, and we all can do something about it.
And then he said, I know it's hard at this time with the economic crisis in America to think why now should we care about Africa? That it would be tempting as a country to turn inward and to not think of Africa. But then he did this soaring analogy of the space
going to the moon.
Going to the moon.
What it was like to be aid in Ireland and see Americans landing on the moon. And, oh, my God, those Americans are crazy. They can do anything.
They can do anything. And, you know, but what the astronauts came back from the moon, and what did they say? The Earth is so small. It was great. Yeah. I mean, it was really incredible.
He even did an impression of Warren Buffett at one point.
Right.
He said when he went to Warren Buffett, the sage of Omaha, and asked for advice about like how to get Americans to contribute to what he sees as the world's greatest emergency, Warren Buffett said to him, "Don't appeal to America's conscience. Appeal to America's greatness." And that's really what he did yesterday. Just talked about how much he loves America and Americans and American ingenuity and American generosity. And it was really just he totally brought the house down.
Right, right. Yeah, people were screaming. And then I screamed, "Remember me, 1981.
And what did he say?
New Haven. He said that. Your first U.S. tour. He didn't see my T-shirt. But no, it was really sensational.
It was
really great.
And then we wrapped up the whole day and night with the incomparable Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, fantastic.
She's a close, you could tell she's a close personal friend of Maria's. And Maria said, "I've been wanting Bonnie to come for years." And so it was, Julie, everyone got up on their feet at the end of this long day. It was about 6:30 or 7 and started rocking out to Bonnie Raitt. It was the perfect way to end the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you know, I didn't rock out watching the webcast, but it is worth watching, no doubt.
So where do people go to watch it, Jewel?
You go to californiawomen.org, and you can see the webcast. It's up there. And again, as I said, it's excellent production value. You're going to love it.
All right. On Monday, Satellite Sisters, we would like to thank our friends Dove again for inviting us. It was really a special treat for us. And we had a chance to be invited to their very special session for teenage girls, the Dove Self-Esteem Workshop. That was led by Jess Wiener, who's been on the show before. She's the Dove Global Ambassador for Self-Esteem. She's a really dynamic speaker.
She was fantastic.
Really relates to these 16 to 20-year-old women. And then there was a special guest, and we couldn't understand why they kept saying, "No flash photography, no flash photography." I'm like, all right, well, people like Jess Wiener, but I don't think they're going to go nuts with the flash photography. Well, they did when Jennifer Lopez came out in this very small room with, you know, hundreds of 16 to 20-year-old girls. They went absolutely nuts. And guess what they did? Julie, they all took flash pictures. Every single one of
movies.
Them. Hey, well, girls in front of me were taking movies of Jennifer Lopez. But on Monday's show, we're going to tell you all about that special session.
Yeah, that was great. All right, so what do we have coming up next? Time for Entertaining Sheila.
That's right, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
All right, coming right up, stick with us.
Two of us in a double feature. I'm a rock and roller, she's a science teacher. I send her looks. They don't reach her, she does not know I'm in love with her. La la la, I'm in love with the four-eyed girl.
This is Entertaining Sheila, and this week the movie is Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. That's right, thought I'd have a little fun this week.
Good.
Sort of take it down to a PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a real PG-13. I love the innocence, I love the realism in this movie. And guess what? It stars Michael Cera from Juno. Stay with me now. Stay with me. You know how I felt about Juno?
Remind us how you felt. You didn't like Juno.
No, I did not like Juno because I absolutely could not stand the writing. So it's not really Michael Cera's fault. So I gave him a second chance in this movie.
That's
all right?
Nice of you.
Thank you. I'm sure he appreciates it. So Michael Cera is the big headliner in the movie. And there are many other relative newcomers who are great, like the girl who plays Nora. Her name is Kat Dennings. And it's directed by a guy named Peter Sellette, whose debut film was one of my favorite films of 2002. Gosh, was it that long ago? A little film called Raising Victor Vargas. I don't know if any...
Oh!
Do you remember that?
Yes!
All right. A small,
yeah,
sublime little movie about growing up in New York City.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so... again, depressing that that was 2002.
Yeah, wow. Time flies.
It really does.
When you never go to the movies.
Yeah, I know.
I think that was the last movie I saw. That wasn't animated.
All righty. Well, I went with the intention to have some lighthearted fun, and that's exactly what I had at this movie.
Oh, good.
Good.
I also went for the cinematography because I remember Victor Vargas having the most intimate sort of look and feel, you know, and Nick and Nora did not disappoint in that. Especially because it takes place at night in New York and contains glorious scenes from the city that never sleeps. This has been entertaining, Sheila. Go forth and entertain, everyone.
Okay. All right, Sheila. I have a question for you. I have a question. Is it too pathetic for a grown woman to go see High School Musical 3 by herself?
Well, yes, it is. That's my final answer.
Can't you take your kids to see it, Lee? And they thought they loved High School Musical.
Yeah, now they're older, Liz, and they're boys. And just the phenomenon is too much for them, and they're humiliated. Like, I think I could have talked Colin into it, but Brooks is already saying, no, I'm not going. That's lame. I'm not going. It's lame. You know, it's lame. It's lame.
Of course it's lame.
But I want to see it. I want to see the kids from East High on the big screen.
I know, Lee, I'd go with you. Why don't you find another mom who has sons? Because they must be just as embarrassed as you are, or as your kids are, to go with you.
So two moms going is better than one mom going?
Yes, I think that's
fine.
Sit
in the back.
Try to go midday.
Yeah, you figure midday on a school
day. With the elderly.
Who else is going to be
there? The elderly.
Oh, the elderly. All right. I have no problem. I'll just go by myself, like, you know, Tuesday afternoon at 11 or 12.
You don't want to get the jump on it?
No. No, because it is. Then I'm really weird.
Yeah.
Then I'm really like all by myself. And
you're only semi-weird. Yeah. That's good, Leon.
There with the tween girls.
All right, sisters. Have a great week.
Thank you, Leon.
Don't forget, call your satellite sister.